The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. My name is Kirsten Hartwig, and this is the Herbal Medicine Show brought to you by Heartwood Herbal Education. We're back at Emerson College, and this week has been full of rain and storm and sunshine and books and herbal medicine students. We were warm and cozy in the library, and we're lucky to have some very special guests too. Listen to Gloria Jensen telling us about the Greenhouse Fund, Alex Wright explaining the elements, Ralph Rössner initiating us into the secrets of the light root with help from Michael Williams, his English translator, and Chris Stott, the Emerson gardener, talks about the virtues of biodynamic preparations, followed by the famous storyteller Ashley Ramsden singing an old folk song about John Barleycorn. All accompanied by music composed and performed by Nick Rowley, Peter Firebrace, and Essie Jane. Welcome to your weekly dose of plant power. So in the library, I have managed to also find Gloria Jensen, or Jensen, as you say in English. Are you German or are you?
I'm German, Austrian, and French, actually.
Okay. A true European.
Exactly.
And Gloria, you're here at Emerson for a specific reason, I know.
Yes, I'm here for 3 months working on fundraising, helping the college with launching a fundraising campaign around the glass greenhouse project.
And how did you get your, the idea of, you know, where did you come from? How are you?
Yeah, well, when I arrived, I talked to as many people as possible. And after 10 days, I proposed to the college to work on that project because I identified 2 strengths here. Which are on the one hand the land, the place, Emerson College, and on the other hand the people. And I thought the glass greenhouse project is building on those assets. And through a fundraising challenge, actually, I propose to the college to work with the community here to raise funds for this project.
I think that's absolutely wonderful to have as a career to find resources for other people's ideas and bringing ideas to life. I think that's a wonderful career choice. So you presumably speak several languages, like most Europeans.
Yes. I speak French and German, but both are my mother tongues. And I'm trying to improve my English. That's why I'm here also. But yes, about the job, I really love it because you are, as a fundraiser, you put in contact people who want to support projects, who are able to support it, and people who want to make project happen. So I'm very grateful when it happens because often people are happy to support and people who get support are really grateful.
Nice. And so tell me about the greenhouse. How much money do you need and what's it going to... I know that Heartwood is going to have part of it for plant propagation, for medicinal plant propagation. And that's only a corner because it's quite a big greenhouse I have established already.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we aim to raise £38,000 to buy a glass greenhouse. what is this space? It's on the one hand a growing space, so it means we will grow vegetables, more vegetables at Emerson College to provide wholesome nutrition to the visitors, students and residents. And it is also a teaching place. So as the college is about education here, we use every opportunity to learn at Emerson, and we would like to teach biodynamics in this space. And so we are launching an internship program, and interns will be able to practice biodynamics in this space. And as you said, part of this space is also used for herb propagation.
And students will, the herbal students will come and learn as well. So it's really great that there's a space for teaching,
yes,
whatever is being taught. I think that's lovely.
Mm.
So will there be a kettle and so you can make tea and
Yeah, I think actually indeed the garden is already a kind of social space. I mean, people like to go there. It's a wonderful place. And people meet there, and a greenhouse is also a great place to be, even when it's a bit cold outside.
Mm,
can meet there, yes.
Yeah, that's really lovely. And so it sounds like it's going to be quite big.
Yes, it's 128 square meters. It is quite a huge space.
You sound like you've got a specific greenhouse in mind.
Yes, exactly.
Have you already seen the model?
Yes. And we want to buy a reconditioned one because all the project is also part of tackling the environmental issues. So that's why we choose a second-hand one. But we want a great second-hand greenhouse, and we have found one which is coming from Holland.
The Dutch, they know everything about
greenhouses. Exactly. And it's one of the best professional greenhouse that they're very well known amongst growers. So that's why.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
This. Yeah. So we have just started the campaign. Now we have raised £2,750. As I am not from here, that's why also I want to work with the communities. Everyone knows people around, and so I asked them to spread the word and help me identifying those individuals and companies and trusts who may support the project. And we did that through different consultation meetings in a creative process. For example, I just asked everyone to write down who they think of who might want to get involved, so persons and organization, and that's how we had some very, a bit crazy ideas. Everyone told me during this meeting we have to reach Prince Charles. Or someone else told me about Kate Blanchett because she's also...
she's also local.
Yeah, exactly. But you always need to have some crazy ideas.
Yeah.
And sometimes they work, so we are working on that.
Excellent. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world, Fred, and we'll definitely, in Hartwood, we'll support you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
If you want to support the Glass Greenhouse Project, you can visit our website, emerson.org.uk. It's on Emerson's Facebook page, and for Instagram we have an account which is called Emerson Garden. And
nice.
There you can hear through the gardener, so Trude Laugsgrund, and she makes some pictures and gives some tips about gardening. Thank you for your support.
Dark is the night, but you're not alone in this fight. I stand beside you. You've held on tight in the unknown.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. My name is Kirsten Hartwig, and this is the Herbal Medicine Show. Welcome to Alex, my guest in the garden today, but we've actually gone into the library because it's a bit cold in the garden. And Alex Wright lives here at Emerson, and we're doing a celestial herb bed together, or we're planning to anyway, aren't we, Alex?
Yes, that's the idea. Well, not just celestial, it will be planetary and earthly as well. And hopefully it will act as a teaching aid to understand the different influences there are on plants that give them their special characteristics, especially as regards their medicinal or herbal qualities.
Yeah, exactly. And so we have pooled our knowledge, and we've brought in the knowledge from other traditions as well, and it's a very exciting plan, I think, if we can, whenever it comes to fruition. But it's very exciting to work with it, and you're kind of the, you oversee the higher spheres of this plan.
I think you might be elevating me unduly, Kirsten. I mean, I'm keen. I think this final plan we have is really quite special, but it does encompass 25 different aspects. So I think for someone who is very deeply versed in herbalism and possibly astrology, it might take them to an even higher level. But I think for beginners, maybe there's so much here it could overwhelm them. I'm keener on starting off with like a fourfold elements garden, just because that's the most sort of basic of the occult world, if you like, and then move on to a planetary garden, and then possibly finish with a zodiac garden. Mm-hmm. But I'm unsure currently of the effect of the zodiac on plant life, so need to
you've been studying Culpepper, haven't you?
I have been studying Culpepper a bit. He particularly talks about the planets. He ascribes a planet to each of at least 250 plants. Occasionally he ascribes a zodiac sign to it, but really not very often, probably less than 10% of the plants.
But you know a lot about the elements, much more than me, and you know about the elementals as well, don't you? And you also know about the temperaments. I've always been unsure about what is the difference between the elements and the temperaments.
Well, the elements are the particular... the elements manifest in nature, what we might call them in a modern scientific, from a modern scientific perspective, is forms of matter. At school many years ago, I learned about solids, liquids and gases. And really, these are the elements. We might call earth, water and air, but ice is earth element because it's solid. And these forms are, result from the influence of specific ethers. Now, these ethers manifest in nature as these different forms of matter, and they manifest in the human, both physically in a sense of different body types, but also psychologically in terms of our psychology, our habits, our behavior. And we each have a blend of the different elements within us, different proportions, if you like. And that is what our temperament is. I mean, temperament means sort of mixture, the specific mixture we each have.
And is that from the Rudolf Steiner? Where does that originate from the...
Well, Steiner did talk about it, and of the sort of relatively modern authors, he's probably the one who has the most profound appreciation of it. But it's something ancient.
Okay.
I mean, it goes back to the ancient Egyptians and probably before.
And what are the temperaments?
The temperaments are for, well, if people have a lot of the earth element in them, that's the melancholic temperament, which means that the bones physically are very often predominant. And psychologically, there is this profundity, quite affected by, you know, the bones are very physical, quite affected by gravity. And in a way, melancholic people are often interested in a fundamental understanding of things rather than any sort of superficial part of it. I mean, this is part of it. I could talk for an hour or so on it, but just to give you
that's
a brief
brilliant, because insight. I've always thought that to... if someone was melancholic, it was because they're always a bit down.
Well, they are quite internal, so they can appear as down. And in a way, of all the temperaments, perhaps it's the one that has the least sort of positive name. But then we do live in times of soundbite superficiality, and so often profundity is not given the value that it should do. But every temperament has its positive and negative sides.
Oh.
The temperaments do, the melancholics do have this sort of profundity, which is very positive, but there can be a lack of sociability and an isolatedness, which is not so positive.
Mm.
So really, for each temperament, we need to sort of manifest our strengths, but be aware of the weakness of that temperament and make sure we take steps so as not to pay the price for our strength.
So hermits are melancholic or what?
Well, more likely to have a tendency towards that, yes. Yes.
Excellent. And so that was the earth element and melancholy. What? So there must be three more.
There are. Those were the predominant water element, are the phlegmatics. Physically, they're often have forms, shall we say, like a stone rounded in a stream, so more sort of rounded people. Often they have a sort of slightly damp handshake, and they are people who are very much defined by regularity and pattern and habit. So they're very reliable, which is a positive thing. But that said, if they need to change, that's not necessarily the easiest thing to do. And some people may see them as rather sort of boring and unoriginal because they're very good at copying and very good at doing the same thing repeatedly, but not necessarily so good at manifesting new ideas. So there's a risk that they can get a bit stuck in a rut. I mean, if you imagine water just staying still can become stagnant, and this is a risk for the phlegmatics.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. So that was, so now we had earth, water.
Air would be the next one. Air, the sanguines. A good image to understand a sanguine is to imagine an autumn leaf on a blustery day when it's being blown hither and thither. Air, gas, has this tendency to disperse, to expand, to fill the space, to go outwards. And the strength of the sanguine temperament is sociability and change and being able to meet things very quickly at a superficial level, which in a social context can be useful. But the downside of it is that they can become rather sort of dispersed and ungrounded when everything they do is only superficial and they never really get any depth and solidity. So if a sanguine person can form a relationship with a melancholic person, it's perhaps quite difficult to make that happen in the first place, but they can be mutually compatible and help each other.
Yeah, great. So the positive sides of them would go together really well, whereas the negative would... what's the negative of the sanguine? That they'd get too dispersed?
And yes, and well, you see, the melancholic can sort of bring them down to earth when they get a bit...
Yeah.
being a bit blown away and being
and on
a bit
the
dispersed.
Other hand,
yeah, and sanguine. The sanguine can pull up the melancholic from their prison of books.
Excellent. One left then, which is fine.
Well, the choleric, yes. Well, they're quite some people. Cholerics just have this ability to do, just to have these huge forces of will that they can identify a goal and go straight for it. So they potentially can really achieve great things. That said, their vision can be rather one-directional, and they're not so interested in other people's opinions and not so interested in other people's feelings. And often they may not recognise that they don't really have all abilities within themselves and actually would be better served by working with other people. They're sort of the old-style leaders, which is rather going out of style these days and becoming a bit anachronistic.
I don't know. I think Trump is... I'd have him down as a
choleric. He is, but I wouldn't say he was universally popular. No, you know, these people, they can serve a role, like a strong spice in a meal. They can bring something. I don't see him as a model for the future.
No, quite. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, so popularity is not... and so that is really interesting, Alex. So since we're garden people and talking about plants, do you know any, is there a choleric plant or a melancholic plant? Have you researched that yet?
I haven't really gone into that so much. Rather, the issue with plants is that, as with humans, they all have all the elements in them, but it's in specific parts of them, right? The roots are inherently the earth element, and the stem and leaves are inherently the water element, the flower is inherently the air element, and the seed the fire element. So you need to, in a way, look at the particular... Perhaps one way of looking at it from the purposes of our garden, in that it is aimed at medicine, to look at the particular part of the plant that is used medicinally, and then identify the element that is inherent in that particular part of the plant.
So something like chili. Chili is a seed and a fruit, and it's very fiery.
That's true.
So I'd have that down as a choleric then.
I think that would be the fire element,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when you say choleric, that's all humans.
Yeah, but don't you think plants can be choleric?
I would probably call it fire element, but you could.
Yeah.
You could. what can I say? Yeah.
So what did you say the water is the...
Well, water is the leaves and the stem. I suppose it's more often the leaves that would be used. And what would be interesting, and I don't yet know yet, is if leaves are always, one would describe them as, or always as water element. But possibly there are leaves which have some sort of fiery element in them or an airy element in them. I don't know. I suppose I'm just thinking of, say, lemon balm. If you imagine the leaves mm-hmm. of that, that's a slightly airy sort of taste.
And yeah, it's interesting, but as you said, like people, we are not just one thing or the other.
That's true.
All four elements in them, but some are more, like chili is probably more choleric than anything else. And something like celery, you know, we eat the stem and it is very, that is very watery and very, and that's what I think about when you say.
Yeah, but I think this is where the other... influences come in, perhaps the planetary influences come in,
mm-hmm.
but I simply don't know enough about them in relation to the plant kingdom.
That's all to come, isn't it?
It is, as the mystery gradually unfolds. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking us a little bit into the garden mystery, and I hope you'll come back soon and tell us more as we find out more about this marrying of temperaments, elements, plants, and seasons.
Yeah.
I suppose is what.
I look forward to it.
You can call them transporting points, Commander Antique. And don't you forget them the next time you treat. Can juggle with the elements, you can use them in time. If you use them right, your petal feels so fine. Pull the in the five, for the yang, there is six. Learn each and every one that gets you out of a fix. Fingers to the elbows, the toes to the knees. These 66 points will harmonize your chi. Is it shoo shoo, shoo shoo cherry? They're the points that we need to help the jing low flows for the zang fu show. The jing well points to the sea.
out before it starts to flow. The yin and yang change over in the feet and the hands. The wood on the yin, the metal on the yang. And if you need resuscitation, these points are the best. The cool heat and free congestion in the heart and the chest. If you're feeling faint, feel a stroke coming on, don't delay, needle heart protector nine. Dong chong, is it shoo shoo, shoo shoo shiree. For the points that we need, to help the jinglo flows upon the zang fu show. The jing well points to the hussy. The ying spring gush out of the borders of the soles and the palms, where the skin changes color to keep you safe from harm. The yang, the water, on the yin, their fire, to put up that fever before it gets sunny high. So if you're feeling hot and bothered, your throat's a sore, lung 10 UG, your health will restore. If your eyes are dry and red, you're feeling quite a state, needle triple heated too, yeah, men fluid gate. I said shoo shoo, shoo shoo shiree. They're the points that we need to help the jingle flows for the zang fu show. The jingle well points to the hussy. At the wrist and the ankle, such a string can be found where the chi picks up speed and it rushes around. The yang, the wood, they free up the joints in damp B. They protect the interior in the battle of wei chi. On the yin era, yuan source points to restorative, regenerative, resourcing like new. So if your back's in pain, you're feeling drained and weak at the knees, then turn it all around with kidney three tai chi. I said shoo shoo, shoo shoo shiree. They're the points that we need. Held the jingle flows for the zang fu show. The jing well points to the hussy. Start getting big and strong. The metal on the yin, the fire on the yang. They regulate and cool so things don't get out of hand. So if you're panting in your coughing, changes in your voice, long edging chew, there's a point of choice. Your joints are giving you trouble, your bowels no longer move. Triple to six branch ditch will get you back in the groove. I said shoo shoo, shoo shoo shiree. They're the points that we need to help the jingle flow, support the zang fu show. The jing well points to the hussy. Now the chi is running deeply at the elbows and knees as it disappears, emerges into the hussy. The yang, the earth, the water on the yin, the treat the stomach and the intestines and cleanse the skin. So if you're red hot and itchy, you need a point of cool, take large intestine 11 at the bend, there's a pool. If you're tired and exhausted, need a boost to your chi, just needle stomach 36, now too sandy. You said shoo shoo, shoo shoo shiree. They're the points that we need to help the jingle flow, support the zang. The jing well points to the hussy. So call them transporting commander antique. Just don't you forget them the next time you treat. Conjugal with the elements, you can use them in time. If you use them right, your patient feels so fine. Jing well, jing spring, shoe stream, yuan source. Jing river hussy, they keep the chi on course. Directed and corrected, disperse and stimulate. Get the chi back on track and don't you wait. I said shoo shoo, shoo shoo shiree. They're the points that we need to help the jingle flows for the zang fu show. The jing well points to the hussy. Help the jingle flows for the zang fu show. The jing ying shu yuan jing ha si.
Recently we talked about the light route with Trude Laugsund in the garden at Amazon. And we talked about the amazing light route, Dioscorea batatas. And she knows how to grow it, but she said she doesn't really know much about its use and its history. She said that Ralph knows about this. And lo and behold, here we have in the library found Ralph. And he's now going to tell us everything there is to know about how to use the light root and why you should eat it and use it. Welcome, Ralf Rösner.
Rösner, ja.
Ja. Ich spreche Deutsch, ja.
Ja, Sie sprechen das doch sehr schön aus.
Aber am den Radio, they don't speak Deutsch, and neither do I. So we've got Michael Williams, who is Ralf's translator, to be our middleman, because my German isn't quite up to doing an interview. So, Michael, will you ask Ralf to tell us the story about the light route and where he found it and how he got interested in it?
Die Kerstin fragt, ob du uns die Geschichte von der Lichtwurzel erzählen kannst, wie du sie gefunden hast und wie das gekommen ist.
Ja. Einmal bin ich...
Ralf is grateful that he can speak about the light route.
Weil als ich 1989
Ralf met Adalbert von Kaiserling, and since that time the story of the light route has touched his heart, and he's taken it upon himself as a life task to make it known.
So why should we know it? Why should we use it? I know about Dioscorea villosa that we use in herbal medicine, the wild yam that has hormonal properties and so on. Does the light root have the same as its cousin?
Nein, die Lichtwurzel ist wirklich eine...
The light root is really a just general nutrition, a food plant, and doesn't have the specific properties that the Dioscorea villosa has.
It's not as strong as the
It's not
the
a medicinal
one.
Plant as
but such. But it has got its properties.
It certainly has. Yes.
Yeah, so what are they?
Und was sind das, diese Eigenschaften? Yeah.
Wir leben heute in einer Konsumgesellschaft.
We live in a consumer society these days. And because of this consumer society, a lot of the foodstuffs that we have, that we eat, yeah, being processed along the way. And even if you can bypass the processing, you still have the feeling that it takes quite a lot to feel...
That you've been nourished.
They've been nourished, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Es gibt so ein wunderbares Buch, und das heißt, und sie verhungerten an bersten
den
Tischen.
It's called, and they starved at overflowing tables because the actual nourishing elements in the foods are diminishing all the time. And this is where the light route comes into play. When they had their first major or bigger meal at home in the family with the light route, and so they felt they'd eaten enough after just a few minutes, so much that they couldn't eat anymore. And so for the first time, he could see that this is a direct effect of the light route, that you don't have to eat a lot to feel replenished. And
And is that why it's called light root? Because it helps you eat light?
Heißt das deshalb Lichtwurzel? Es hilft, das macht dich leichter? Das
Nein.
Essen ist leichter?
Ja.
Every
Nimm
plant
kosmisches Licht auf.
Is built up by light, cosmic light. The more light a plant can take in, the more life forces stream towards the plant from the earth. And the light root has this capacity that it can take up more light than it actually needs for its own process. And the human being is a being of light as well. And after the old maxim of light attracts light, so as soon as you eat the light root, these life forces stream towards you, and everything that you need streams towards you, and you feel you're nourished. The light root is really the healing plant, because it frees our organism from all the heavy foodstuffs that we have to take into ourselves these days. And this is despite the fact that if you look at the actual contents, what's in the light root, there aren't any specific healing properties. So they had the plant analyzed to find out what's actually in it, and they found that there are 33 different substances in it, but they were all harmonizing. It was all in balance, like a balance of forces that is active in the plant. Mm. And the plant shows us that this kind of a living quality can only come about if there is a certain balance and a certain harmony.
And it gives us that harmony when we eat it, is it?
Und das gibt uns dann die Harmonie, wenn wir sie essen.
Ja.
Ja, spot on.
Ja. Also es ist nicht nur, dass sie uns entlastet, dass wir
nicht... It is not only that we have to eat less to feel replenished, but it also opens us to the world at large through this balance and harmony, so that we receive new inspirations.
So we are, so we become more in tune with the rest of existence, is that?
Dass wir dann mehr... Ja, in Harmonie mit der...
Mit sich selber und mit der Welt.
With oneself and the world.
Ja.
So how can we eat it?
Wie isst man sie?
Ja, am besten roh.
Best is just in the raw.
And how much?
You use 10 or 20 grams and you just grate it into your salad. And that's enough for a daily dose.
Ja.
It's called Chinese yam as well, isn't it?
What ja, und der andere Name ist chinesische Yam.
Ja. Yeah.
And I saw that you can get it in a Chinese specialist shop.
Und man kann sie auch in chinesischen Läden, Kräuterläden
ja.
kaufen.
Ja, ja, ja.
Is that the one?
Also, ist das genau dieselbe?
Wenn es sich um die Zhang Yao handelt, dann ist das dieselbe.
If it's the Zhang Yao, then it is the same.
Ja.
And Ralph went over to China twice, to find the region that Wolfgang Wachsmuth, Günther Wachsmuth's brother, had indicated when he went to China in 1925 to bring back one of those or two of those roots. It's only the Shan Yao that is used as a for medical purposes, and it's if you translate the name, it actually means mountain medicine. So when people come and buy these this light root, they come from all parts. But they don't just eat it raw the way Ralph has suggested, but what they do is they dry it and then they grate it. And so they could observe what happens when you grate it and dry it. And a colleague of his, she tried it and she said, it's still a little bit coarse. So they put it in a pestle and mortar and just ground it down even further.
Und da konnte ich beim vom Reiben beobachten, wie diese Lichtkräfte hingeströmt sind.
And then Ralph could observe how these light forces stream towards it. So this potential is heightened, increased, when you grind it down. So if you want to use a light root for medicinal purposes, then you have to really use it when it's ground down. And then it is a remedy against all illnesses where you have a lack of light.
Wie Rheumatismus, Depressionen.
Depression, Shingles. It's another illness that's caused by lack of light. Our light body has retreated underneath the skin, and that's why you get shingles. And if we take the light forces of
kann
the light...
Kann man beobachten, wie das gleich durchpulsiert wird, die Haut.
And you can feel that, you can observe that the skin is pulsed through immediately.
It's very interesting that you say that, because St. John's wort, or Hypericum perforatum, is also used for shingles and some of the and depression, and in cases where there isn't enough light.
So St. John's wort has the same connection to the light.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. St. John's wort is the summer. The light root will last all through the winter. Because it's a tuber, isn't it? So you can it'll keep all your... How do we get it?
Yeah. Grows at Emerson College.
Yeah.
And it's easy to propagate, fairly easy.
Because it has these little tubers that grow from the leaves, the little... What is that they call them? Like little balls?
These little nodules.
Yeah.
There's a...
air roots, I think.
And there's another characteristic. Yeah. And this plant has been propagated vegetatively for thousands of years and is still a stable plant. It shows that there's a force, an innate force, that is so strong that it can remain stable.
Yeah.
It has a very long root, hasn't it? It's like a meter long. The ones
es hat eine richtig lange Wurzel, ein Meter lang fast.
Ja.
So would we, if we eat light root every day on our porridge, or light trude, would that make us all more enlightened?
Auf jeden Fall.
Yeah, of course.
Ja, weil, man muss es andersrum sehen.
You've got to see it the other way around.
Dass unser normaler Nahrungsstrom uns von der Erleuchtung abhält.
Because our ordinary nutrition prevents us from enlightenment. And so it stops us from opening ourselves to the earth, because our formative force body is constantly at work at battling with these toxins in ordinary food stuff.
But there are people who have reached enlightenment without eating enlightenment, surely.
Enlightenment through a certain force of sacrifice. So they've actually given up certain things. So our understanding, spiritual understanding of the world, it very much depends on what we take into ourselves, not just by way of nutrition, but also by way of impressions.
And that's interesting, that when you eat light root, you feel full quite soon.
Yes.
So it kind of helps you not to take too much in.
It also frees our spirit. Despite this, you can't eat yourself into heaven. Because if I thought, yes, if by eating the light root I could become a better person, that would not be correct. If you eat light root over longer periods of time, you can notice certain phenomena. And one is that you don't need sleep so much. And the other thing is that astrality, negative sensations from other people, they just are repelled. Before eating the light root, you'd think, oh, what have I done? And you'd think, oh, maybe it's my fault that I have brought this upon myself.
Und jetzt habe ich die Kraft zu sagen, Freund, was ist mit dir?
And now I have the strength to say, well, hey, my mate, what's wrong with you?
And you don't take everything personally.
Yeah, man nimmt nicht mehr alles persönlich.
Ganz genau.
Exactly right.
So I know that Alex wants to whisk you away to London because you're speaking in Temple Lodge. So we better let you go soon. But before you do, so now, of course, we all want to go and eat light root all the time. So how do we know when we go down to the Chinese greengrocer to buy some, because we can't all have what Amazon suppliers won't last? How do we identify that it's the right one they have when they say they're selling us?
As luck would have it, there are also external identification marks that you can actually know exactly which one is a light and which one isn't. Das ist schon mal gut. Jetzt hör mal, was sind die denn? One has to say, it's not just, oh yeah, this is a light root, but one can exactly say this is a good quality light root, and this is not such
even
a good.
Better.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Give him some spill the beans.
You can ask whether he can cut through it or cut a little piece off it.
Yes.
If it was just any ordinary yam or a light root with not such good quality, it would oxidize straight away.
Yeah. Excellent.
Every other yam changes color in some way, light brown.
Because it oxidizes.
Because it oxidizes when you cut it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Und die Lichtwurzel trocknet ganz weiß ab.
And light root always dries completely white.
Yeah. Und wenn man sie auseinanderbricht,
and when you break it,
man hat wirklich ein halbes Erleuchtungserlebnis.
And you have a
so ein Licht, kristallines Licht kommt einem da entgegen.
Half an experience of enlightenment, because it's like crystalline light that comes towards you when you break it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, on that happy note, thank you very much, Ralph.
Ganz
that was absolutely
gerne.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you, Michael, for excellent translation.
I tried my best, but Ralph says thank you very much, indeed.
Something good is dawning. Oh, I'm hearing a call to find a place for us all to stand in the light. Stand in the light. As your eyes grow wide, oh, I could see you were falling. For a song. star a journey.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. My name is Kirsten Hartwig, and this is the Herbal Medicine Show.
So we've just talked to Ralph about the light route, which is really interesting. And we have also managed to trap Chris, who is the head gardener at Emerson. And I'm determined to get Chris to explain to us what's biodynamic gardening all about. So, Chris, here you are. This is your chance.
Oh, I don't know if I can put it in 2 minutes. I mean, one, I guess what makes it different from organics? And one of the main things that sets it apart from organics or builds on organic farming methods and permaculture is the use of different herbal preparations. Various herbs have been taken and put through a process, and these preparations are then used in compost. And there's two that are stirred in water for an hour and then sprayed over the land that you're using.
And why do you do that? Is that to feed the plants or the earth or what?
I think it's more of a you could say a medicine for the earth, or to strengthen the forces working behind nature, or that are, in a sense, giving nature their form and direction.
That's beautiful. Because so some I helped with one of them, and we did two in the spring. One was one day we sprayed all over the land, and then the next one was really interesting because that we had to spray that in the air.
Yeah.
Which was was that sort of for the air element or?
That's working with the forces behind or of warmth and light, and also the air, anything above the ground, and also working on the part of the plant that's above the ground, so the leaves and flowers and.
And the prana in the air.
Or? Yeah, I guess, or the chi. I don't know. It's the Chinese.
Yeah, whatever.
I guess.
So it's recognizing that we are part of a universe where with many, many different influencing forces.
Yeah.
That you can, tap into or tune into or something like that.
Harnessing the forces that, I guess, with our everyday physical senses, we don't necessarily have the capacity to pick up.
That was a good explanation, don't you think, so? In 3 minutes.
one piece of a puzzle. I don't have all the pieces though.
To be continued when you find another piece.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
I'm learning that biodynamic growing methods respect and acknowledge all visible and invisible beings and forces in the universe. It's all alive. Everything has a right to be. Here's Ashley Ramsden, the famous storyteller, singing an old song about John Barleycorn.
There were three men came out of the west, their fortunes for to try. And these three men made a solemn vow, John Barleycorn must die. They ploughed, they sowed, they harrowed him in, throwed clods upon his head. And those three men made a solemn vow, John Barleycorn was dead. They let him lie for a very long time, till the rains of heaven did fall. But little Sir John poked up his head, and it surprised them all. They let him stand till Midsummer's Day, till he grew both pale and wan. Then little Sir John, he grew a long beard, and so became a man. They hired men with scythes sharp to cut him off at knee, and they rolled and tied him by the waist and served him most barbarously. They hired men with pitchforks sharp to pierce him to the heart. But the loader, he treated him worse than that, for he bound him to the cart. Oh, round and round the field they went, till they came unto a barn, and there they swore a solemn oath to do him grievous harm. They hired men with crabtree sticks to strip him skin from bone, but the miller, he treated him worse than that, for he ground him between two stones. Here's little Sir John in a nut-brown bowl, as barley in a glass, as brandy in a glass. Here's little Sir John in a nut-brown bowl, the strongest man at last. For the huntsman, he can't hunt the fox and loudly blow his horn, and the tinker can't sell his pots and cans without a little John Barleycorn.
We've come to the end of this week's Herbal Medicine Show, brought to you as usual by Heartwood Herbal Education. Thank you for listening, and thank you to Gloria Jensen, Alex Wright, Ralph Rössner, Michael Williams, Chris Scott, and Ashley Ramston for telling their stories in today's show. Thank you to Nick Rowley, Essie Jane, and Peter Firebrace for the music, and to Steve Thomas and Nick from the Heartwood production team for superb technical support. Please join me again next week for another dose of plant power.